76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Hope everybody is doing well. And man, such an eventful day yesterday. It's kind of like, where do we go today? Well, I know where we go. We go to the people, because yesterday we took so much time to break down what happened Saturday. And look, I feel like we said plenty, but we hadn't really got a chance to listen to what you guys wanted to say. And I know we've got plenty of people in the chat that probably want to chime in. We'll read plenty of those. Again, we are a live radio show for you guys that join us on YouTube. So remember, you always can call in 205-342-9904. Plan on going to the phone lines a bunch, because obviously you guys probably have a lot that you want to unpack. So we'll definitely be going to the phone lines plenty here on the show, and all the chat messages here. And if you guys still have the app, right, Tide 100.9, make sure you guys download it if you haven't already. Download that. That way you can leave us app messages there and we can read all that good stuff there. But spent a lot of time yesterday really breaking things down. And I've also been really taking clips and then put them over on X now, just because, man, I think my new mission, guys, is to help educate about the game. And I've been trying to do it on here, but now I'm trying to take it over to X, because I've seen just so many things and I've heard so many things that just aren't right. And look, some people probably don't know better. And so I'm like, you know what, man, I'm going to try to play like, I don't know, teacher here or something. Chase, I guess I'm acting like I'm like the football professor. I'm trying to just put people on game so they understand really what's going on with a lot of this stuff. And I promise by no means I'm trying to be a smart aleck or anything, or try to, you know, make people look bad. It's just, I want to make sure what's being put out there is actually what the deal is, right? Because, look, I mean, I played football a long time. My dad played a decade in the league. I mean, I learned from the best, Coach Saban, man. I know a thing or two about this game. And so I love being able to pass on some of that knowledge. And then we'll dive into some of the things that we brought up over on X yesterday. Just a couple of little, you know, things. I brought up the point about the personnel groupings, right? Still seeing that whole thing. Oh, we give up 230 yards because we're in a 4-2-5. I'm still trying to, you know, actively work to debunk that, Chase. I'll bring that back up on here just to kind of further explain it a little bit. If you guys haven't seen that tweet, I'll bring it up just to explain kind of what that whole deal is. Talked a little bit about, what was the other thing? Oh, some of the things in the game. Like, I think there was a tweet by one of the columnists here, and he was basically talking about, this play was, the issue on this play was the linebacker. And I'm like, yeah, fair. He could, you know, do a better job getting over. But, dude, you're missing the glaring point, and you completely look right over it, man. I mean, there's no edge. Everything starts there. There's absolutely no edge, right? And so my new mission, Chase, is to try to go and try to navigate this stuff and try to just put the right stuff out there. That way you as fans who are wondering, you got all these questions like, what is going on? What is this supposed to be? Was this right? Was this wrong? That's what we're trying to do here on this show now, right? So we're educating folks. So welcome to class. This is day two, I guess, of class. Day one was yesterday. We did a lot of teaching yesterday. Going to continue to do that again today. That being said, if you guys ever have any questions, football-related questions, whatever, you guys, you know, just some thoughts or curious about something, or say you see somebody typing or writing something about a play, a game, whatever, ask us. I'll give you my honest take on it. Be glad to do so. All right, that being said, Chase, I think you mentioned, did you see the game last night? We've got plenty of football going on, so I've been watching a bunch of it. Have you seen it?
I saw a little bit of it. It was kind of in the background doing some homework, but seeing Bill Belichick's face, that kind of told a story.
Look, I thought it was, the whole them coming out, the fireworks and stuff, they pumped it up. I was like, damn, this is legit, man. I'm excited. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you guys thought like I was thinking, but I'm looking at that quarterback, that South Alabama transfer. I swore I'm thinking I'm seeing my former teammate Tua Tagovailoa back there. I mean, the way he's operating, the RPO quick hit slant, you know what I mean? Like his throwing motion, he's a lefty. They got like similar statures. I promise you that that dude for the first drive looked every bit like Tua Tagovailoa. After that, I don't know what happened. He looked more like, no, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, I was going to make a joke, but no, I'm not going to do this. Never mind. He did not look like Tua after that first drive. Hate that for Bill Belichick, man. Spoiled his inaugural game. My dad's over here making faces. What do you got to say about it, man? What I'm saying, you weren't rooting for Bill Belichick? I mean, he's the NFL GOAT. We got Coach Saban, the college GOAT. You got the NFL GOAT coming to college. I'm saying I want them to be good. I think he would be good for college football. Why are you laughing like that, man?
See, what y'all do? See, that's what people do.
Right? What we do, man?
What y'all do is y'all get caught up in all the theatrics and all the stuff that, you know, the four-letter network and all of this stuff. But y'all failed to see that they had 70-something new players on the football team. They went to the portal, and then they did not get any, like, great players. But, you know, the pageantry of it seemed great. Bill Belichick, you know, 6-7-time, you know, Super Bowl-winning coach. You know, he's got the 20-something-year-old girlfriend. Blah, blah, North Carolina. You got Michael Jordan, my teammate Lawrence Taylor in the house. Randy Moss was even my other teammate. You know, many of y'all didn't know Randy Moss was my teammate in Minnesota, but he's up in the house. I mean, the stars, the line. I mean, there haven't been that many people in Chapel Hill since a Duke basketball game. I mean, listen, they were packed. It looked great on TV. First drive was just, like, monumental. And then it all went down from that. I didn't expect anything from this football team because I don't care who you are, you got to have Jimmys and Joes. You got to have people that can make plays. Their defense, that defense last night, let me help you out, Alabama fans. That was worse than Alabama's defense. That was horrible. I mean, Bill Belichick, a defensive extraordinaire, but you don't have any Jimmys and Joes. I mean, those cornerbacks, I think I could have ran some dig routes with two bad knees and got some balls. Listen, that's how bad it was. But this is a process. This is something that recruiting and then even down the road, some other, you know, transfer portal guys will come. Nobody expects anything from North Carolina. It was great. They finally got on national TV. Probably not going to be on there again. That part was good. But it is something like I expect. I don't think anybody expected anything out of North Carolina. But it's good that he's in the game. They was there covering it. Nick Saban was there. You know, the game day show, Kirk Herbstreit and all that, and the dog, all that was there. Listen, there ain't nothing to call mama, you know, about. No need to call home to mama because that's what I think most real people, football people, expected. Because we knew they didn't have talent. Now, the biggest story that I did like about it was Max Johnson. And LSU. And so tore his knee up last year badly. They thought he's going to lose his leg. Thought he might be an amputee. And he came back. And the fact that the offense had life when he was in there, getting the ball out of his hands, very accurate, precise throws. It looked good, but they just don't have the overall talent right now. I mean, North Carolina's a nice school, and I played them like every year almost when I was at South Carolina as an SEC, as an independent. But they're a basketball school, but they're trying to change that whole mindset. But anyway, it is what it is. ACC is what it is. The ACC still stinks, even though Florida State gave them some glory by beating Alabama. I mean, it wasn't for that. Everybody would be saying the same thing about the ACC. But Florida State gave them a little bit of something to cheer about by defeating Alabama. And then, listen, what was more interesting on that broadcast, I watched it, Christian, was Kirk Herbstreit saying that Alabama looked slow. Peep this. He said they looked slow. He said they looked like they had weights around their ankles. So I'm just saying, what we've been saying is right. Everybody, so they looked slow. That meant they didn't have dudes up there. Whether they practiced too hard and they, you know, or they was tired, but they looked so far behind Florida State, it wasn't even funny. And Kirk Herbstreit brought that out. I thought that was extremely interesting that he said that. So hopefully, you know, and I'm not going to beat them up today, but hopefully you got to flush it. You got to move past and get ready and get better. So hopefully they see, hopefully they hear people like us and people that said it nationally and respond. And that's going to tell me a lot about who they are. If they don't respond and we see the same things, then I'm going to really, really start barking loudly about the head coach and the leadership of this team. I am, because that's where it is. Listen, if players just not good enough, like North Carolina, they didn't have talent, right? But if people are talking about your effort and your discipline and your lack of toughness, that to me stems at the very top, and that comes from the coaches. And that is a problem. So if that does not change, these dudes are not knocking heads off. I don't care if it's Louisiana Monroe or Wisconsin in the next couple of weeks. If they're not flying to the football, those types of things, I expect them to win big. But if I don't see the effort, if I don't see the toughness, if I don't see them getting peed off at each other when somebody makes a mistake, then I am totally saying Kalen DeBoer is not the guy. And some people are saying that now. I'm not willing to say that right now. I'm willing to say Kane Womack isn't the guy. I'm willing to say that right now. I'm willing to say stop all of this theatrical pageantry mess when it comes to recruiting and screaming from mountaintops about where we ranked in recruiting when these dudes are not translating on the football field. That has to change, right? You can go get guys. You can go pay guys. But if you don't have the right people that are on that field every day, as you know, and expecting greatness, expecting excellence like Nick Saban used to do, then that's leadership. That's right. Just the only way to look at it. So I'm not one to say, oh, just go firing coaches, change coaches. I mean, I know the buyout is astronomical, but something has to change. And if it doesn't change here in the next couple of weeks, it just as far as effort and discipline and toughness, assignment and alignment, stop making these mental errors, mental mistakes, then that comes from the top, and that has to change. And if so, you know, that's the issue. Greg Byrne got to really go to Kalen DeBoer and say, listen, man, I thought about this yesterday. Here's what, let me say this real quick, I'll let you go. Sometimes we can get caught in this trap of wanting to hire our friends because we have past relationships with said coach. And then we get a job, and then we go, hey, you know, look, let me go get, you know, this guy. He's in Alabama, South Alabama. I've coached with him before. I'm familiar with him. I know him. So, therefore, I'm going to hire him, and then that could be the biggest mistake. Shane Beamer had that. Shane Beamer had that with Satterfield, you know, at South Florida offensive coordinator. He had to fire him. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes that head coaches make is they stay too glued to their homeboys and their friends, and they miss hiring the best coach. And I think this is the situation. I think Kalen DeBoer is a good and could be the right head coach, but if you don't surround yourself with the assistants, the guys that are doing the work, that are doing the training and the developing of said players, then you're going to fail. And so he has to look at this thing and be like, man, Kane Womack cool, but bro, this can't happen. And if it happens again, guess what? The pink slip is going to be at your door and you move on. And so that's where I think Alabama is. I think they got to look and evaluate that coaching staff and say, do we have, he had Nick Sheridan last year. It was horrible. He finally got Grubb back. But you got to make these types of difficult choices, excuse me, not choices, but decisions when you're talking about trying to be the best you can be.
You do. And I think, you know, as things kind of unravel, they're definitely going to have to continue looking in the mirror and self-evaluate and see what they can do at least now. Obviously, you're not going to see anything drastic, but I think it all starts with how they do respond. And you mentioned it, you know, what's next for this week. Like you said yesterday, I mean, there's only so much you can really tell. You're not going to be able to see much in this game against Louisiana Monroe. A little bit more maybe Wisconsin. Georgia's going to be a true test. You're back on the road. You're back facing a quality opponent, even more of a quality opponent than week one. That's going to tell us everything. But I just think that something needs to be addressed. And the more it really sat, I sat with it and, you know, thought about this game, man, like at the end of the day, and I mean, the easiest explanation is it's a culture problem. And I'm not saying like, you know, they're bad dudes. No, I'm just saying like, whatever. Here's my thing. You can instill, you know, values. You can teach football. You can teach plays, all that stuff, install. But if it's not really resonating with your guys, which I don't think it is, that's on the coaching side of things. You get what I'm saying? Like, just watch like the effort, the lack of emotion, the flatness. That's on the coaches, man. Even like hearing, you know, when Kane Womack was talking about the sidelines, like a living, breathing thing, where, you know, we were so focused on like the iPads and plays. Like, the more I think about it, that kind of does sum up, if you think about it, how Kalen DeBoer is, right? You know, he's an X's and O's guy. He's not real vocal when it comes to yelling and getting on guys. I think personally what he's used to is scheming things up, trying to outperform teams schematically, you know, score points, and then letting things kind of just play out. But I think culturally here, I know Cam Newton was talking about this and you know, he was talking about the SEC and whatnot, and I'll pull it up here in a minute, but I mean, there's a real truth to that, man. Like, it's just different. You got to have a culture around here that really resonates with the guys. If not, I think you'll continue to get a product to what we saw in week one, right? And that's got to change. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer can naturally just do that. I think I've heard somebody saying things like, oh, well, he can flip a switch. It's kind of difficult for a coach to do that. I know he even mentioned, well, it was easier this year to kind of, you know, I guess address things in a different manner than it was the year prior. But to me, I want to see that, right? I feel like we've just heard so much. I really want to see it. You mentioned Kirk Herbstreit and others having some comments on the game. This was Coach Saban yesterday sharing his thoughts of what he felt after watching that week one performance by Alabama.
Yeah, well, that's all about what they did last year.
Yeah.
That creates the expectation for this year. But, you know, obviously for me and for a lot of the Bama fans, the disappointment that Florida State dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
But the good news is, you know, every team has the best opportunity to improve from week one to week two. Because really going into the season, you don't really know what you have for sure as a coach. And you're always very anxious about what might happen in the first game. And I'm sure they're all disappointed, players, coaches alike. But they do have a great chance to improve from week one to week two. That's when you usually make the biggest improvement. LSU, Miami, and Ohio State all really impressed me. But I think Texas, Notre Dame, and Clemson all have a really good chance to have great teams this year, too, if they make the progress they're capable of.
Yeah.
Definitely very disappointing seeing the lack of physicality, just getting completely bullied. I agree with them. I will say this just real quick before we hit this timeout. We're going to go to the phone lines, hear from you guys, and continue to talk about what's next for Alabama, right? Because I know a lot of people are wondering what's coming next. I'll say this. Did you see the clip? I don't know if you saw this. And at least from the clip, this is what it looked like. This was later in the game. It looked like two of the defensive linemen were literally like cutting up, like laughing, like pre-snap. Like, I don't know what was fun, but like, I'm just being honest with you, man. Like, the more I see, you know, clips like that, guys loafing, jogging around, it clearly indicates. And when you said this last year, and we knew this was the case, I just didn't want to really say it too much. There's a lack of respect, man. There's a lack of respect for authority. That's just a fact. We heard about it last year about guys showing up late, doing. There's rumors, and again, I don't like speaking on rumors because again, a lot of people just write stuff. But allegedly, people are saying guys like the night before hotel ordering food, 1 a.m, very casual approach, not too much structure. Again, and I'm not saying that's the case. I want to be clear. I don't know that to be. I'm just saying that's what people are saying. But I do know from what I see on the field, the stuff that people are doing, like the casualness, the loafing, the lack of that just shows. And you know very much so as a player. They're not afraid of any consequences. They literally feel like they can just get away and do with whatever, right? Look, I got dogs, right? If your dog is not disciplined or trained to respect you as an owner, they're gonna pee all over the house, bark to get their way. They don't care. And I feel like it's kind of what we've seen out of this Alabama team the last few years.
You know what I would do?
Do what they want.
Y'all, you know, CJ used to laugh at me. When them dogs act the fool, I act the fool. Right? You want to run off and I got to go find you. I'm taking your tail right back to Pets Inc. And you're going to get somebody up. You know, because I ain't play that. I mean, it's kind of like, you just, listen, you want to order some food at 1. Why are you up? And what you doing at 1 in the morning? But let me just, y'all laughed at me when I said this. I talked about the fish tacos. I tell you, the West Coast guys are different. I know, man, I got friends across this globe. And the West Coast dude, they my boys, right? But they look different. They like fish tacos, a little bit of lettuce on them, you know. But, man, I'm from the old school of collard greens, pinto beans, and from homemade cornbread, and yet throw a piece of that fat back. And yeah, we all had high blood pressure and probably diabetic. But they was a toughness. They was a toughness that came with it. I mean, like, we need some more of them collard greens, pinto bean eating cornbread in the top of the skillet pan and throwing a slab of fatback dudes on this roster. And what I believe, because Kalen DeBoer is a West Coast guy, you keep serving them these fish tacos and talking about we got to be lean and all this stuff, and you go out there and you get your end drove in the dirt by Florida State. So until we get back to that Southern mentality, Southern fried football, cornbread, collard greens, pinto beans, and a slab of that fat back, we're going to see guys getting pushed around. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Wow. It's like, let me bring a food truck. If I was down there in Tuscaloosa, I'm going to have a food truck. I want the blackest of the black soul food truck out there. And we're going to have oxtails. I'm giving them, Kendall ain't going to know about the oxtails. He probably going to know about the oxtails. But, bro, let me tell you something. It's something about the oxtail, that kind of food. You start to breed up them right dogs. That one man said down here in Coastal Carolina, remember him? I need some dogs right now. That's so fitting. We need to find that. We need to play that because
potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
yeah.
Ram, hog, dog.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come on.
I got beef, green, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, hog.
Come on. Peace.
Turkey, rabbit, you name it.
We got good old Shirley Caesar. I see you, Christian.
But listen, you got to make me start shouting. That's what I'm talking about. We need them kind of dudes.
Oh, man. We need them kind of dudes.
Mm. Yeah, but right now we got them, meow. You got cats.
Let's get a break so we can get some these dogs.
We need to raise up some dogs. We need some Reuben Foster dogs. We need some black and mild dogs. No, we need. Hey, they ain't smoking no pipe. They got black and mild.
Lamb, ram,
hog,
come on.
Yeah.
And a 1K race for the kids. VIP tickets are $75. Beer steins available on site for $10. To learn more, just go to TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts, home of those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they knock it out. Midtown Village right here is where you can find them. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can always schedule an appointment at goodfeet.com nationwide, meaning their stores all around you. Make sure you guys check them out. It's an easy process. Literally just throw them in your shoes, boots, heels, whatever the case may be, and they get to work helping eliminate and alleviate all that pain you might be dealing with. Whether it's quad tendonitis like I had, which was terrible, all that, feeling better than ever thanks to the Good Feet Store and those art sports. So make sure you guys check them out. I promise you guys will not be disappointed. Just step on in there, give them a try. First-class customer service. They'll take great care of you, man. I'm telling you, these things are game changers. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right, real quick before we go to the phone lines, just wrapping up. I was giving a little bit of a breakdown here. Here's y'all's football lesson for our radio listeners. Let me catch them back up real quick. So people have been talking about a lot of the, you know, three-man fronts we're seeing, and the dime defenses, the deep zone drops that you're seeing, right? And I was explaining, it's nothing new, and it's something that you do typically when there's like a and long situation. And right, the point of it is you're trying to force everything deep to short, right? So here I got a clip of us playing it, right? This is us. We used to call this called odd 33 zone. Odd meaning it's a three-man front, right? And then we're getting our zone drops here. We're mugged up, like I mentioned to the YouTube and Facebook listeners, to help the rush out, right? Because when you have three guys, it's hard to rush. You got five linemen in a back, it's six on three. So we mug up. That way they don't necessarily know we could be coming. They at least got to hesitate and respect our presence. We end up popping out. That being said, the point of it is to push everything up, force the shallow throws, and you break on the football.
I'll let the clip play here. And get into Alabama territory. Down three.
Sorry, I'm trying not to get copyrighted. Let me skip ahead a little bit. Up. See the snap? We pop out. You see, like I mentioned, a back was originally to the right. That's why they kept it there. They broke it to the back. We used to always have a rule that just means run a jam or ET. The end ends up selling up field, going into the B gap, right, picking the hip of the guard, ricocheting inside, and the nose wraps for contain. That's why you see Raekwon Davis right here. You see me and Mac Wilson getting to our zone drops, right? He ends up dumping it to the, I think that was AJ Brown. He ends up dumping it off to AJ Brown on a little curl route or something like that.
Just a three-man.
Yeah, quick little curl, or 10-yard curl route. You see me, and actually Shaheem's right there, macking it up, drifting a little bit. Me and Shaheem, gang tackle right there, get him off the field. So that's the point of that stuff. So, again, situationally, when it is more, you know, obvious passing situations and long, again, third and 23 here, I think for Alabama it's like third and 13. It's basically like protecting the sticks, trying to prevent the first down, forcing the shallow throw, and breaking on it. So if you're wondering, like, oh, why are we doing that? In that situation, that's that. Now, you don't play that defense all the time, and I'll dive into a couple more things later on, some of the other defense that you might have seen, that you might have been wondering about here in a little bit. But we need to go to the phone lines because I promised we would do that. 205-342-9904. We got Mike from New York up first. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody today?
Oh, man, can't complain. Mike, how's everything, brother?
What's up, Mike?
Not too bad. Everybody coming off the ledge? We all good? Or you
I
know.
Think so, man.
Okay. All right. I've been there, everybody. I mean, you know, one title in 31 years, you know, when Coach Bryant retired. So one of the good things is the difference between those two eras. I don't think a lot of people are talking about it. At the top, I think at the real top, we got, you know, athletic directors committed to having a good product for us. I think Courtney Morgan has a real good resume where he's every place he's been, he's put good people on the field, including here. And DeBoer's won everywhere he's gone. So this is what makes this really head-scratching, I guess, what's going on. And then, you know, all the rumors about the guys getting takeout food at 2 in the morning and their girlfriends and stuff. I don't know if that's coming from other schools or what, but I don't listen to it. But I guess that's the real head-scratching part right now is it's just you got all these pieces in place, and what is it going to take for them to come together? I mean, effort, I mean – I appreciate what the pastor's saying about money, but probably has something to do with it. But, I mean, Ohio State had the highest payroll last year, if you want to use the word payroll, and won the title. So it can be done. It's just head-scratching, and I guess that's what makes this more frustrating than when Coach Bryant retired.
Well, it can be done, Mike, you know, if you've got the proper leadership that is able to give dudes money and then, but also demand excellence, right? You demand top-notch performance. You demand, you know, practicing the right way. You demand being disciplined, even if it's true about the hotel and chicks running up to the room and getting you chicken wings at 1 or 2 in the morning, whatever they're doing. You got to be disciplined. You got to have the leadership that's disciplined. And that's what Ohio State and Ryan Day was. So I agree with you there. But I was just saying, if we're giving you, I'm not saying we, but if you're getting paid, you know, exuberant amount of money, right, to sign and then come there and play football at a prestigious university like Alabama, and then you get those types of performances which we watch and have the stomach on Saturday, then they need to be something in your contract the way we start taking away. if you're not performing, at a certain clip, nobody's giving you free money. I mean, listen, money's supposed to be earned, right? That's the way of the world. You work hard, you get celebrated, you get rewarded for doing great things. That was what I was saying about the contracts in the NFL. You played hard, you end up playing more percentages of defensive snaps or offensive snaps, or you got so many sacks or interceptions or receptions. They had to reward you for it. But, nobody will give you $10 million for 9-4, right? Nobody pays. you can get anybody with Alabama, people wanting to come there to go 9-4. They give you $10 million to get yourself back into the playoffs with a chance to win national championship. That's all I'm saying. And if you go out there and perform like that, that's just not the culture and the standard. Then that tells me there's an internal problem. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, what I also see is a lot of the fans, even the younger fans who don't really have seen a lot of this type yet, us being under 500 and maybe not even being ranked this week, who knows? But, I guess it's just confusing to for all of them as to, what's going on, what's happening. But it's been there before. The pieces are in place. I just don't know what's gonna pull it all together. I just don't know what's gonna put it all together. But something's got to happen quick. I would say. But I think as fans, the newer fans, at least that I know of, I shouldn't say newer, the younger fans, they've kind of lowered their expectations too. I know everybody's screaming like it's championship or bust or whatever, but I think a lot of fans would have been happy with making the playoffs this year and maybe winning a game or two, which is short lived for when Coach Saban was here.
Yeah, I
agree with that.
Yeah, I would just say, and I said this when Coach DeBoer first got here. I think number one, you just got to be realistic, right? You're not going to see. I know it happened with Bear Bryant and Nick Saban years down the road, but the reality is, the chances are very slim to see another run like Coach Saban had, right? When we were just running the table, could it happen? Yeah, sure, anything can happen. But especially nowadays with this portal stuff, people talk about, it's a portal team, like they don't have chemistry. Well, again, if you do it right. We obviously see what can happen. It's no different. You look at basketball, right? People can go transform a whole team with the portal. So if you do it right, yes. If you get the wrong guys, it's not going to be worth anything. We saw Florida State go get a lot of guys last year. It was terrible. This year, I feel like they paid attention to who they're bringing in, and maybe it's going to work out a little bit better. But I'll say this to answer your question about turning around, Mike. Look, man, it's the biggest issue right now, and I said this yesterday, when you look at the defense and whatnot, it's not necessarily the scheme. Yes, there's a lot of stuff schematically that I think needs to be looked at. However, the biggest, most glaring issue is the effort, the lack of physicality, the lack of toughness, and guys just not really having that passion that we've seen out of Alabama. That needs to be cleaned up. And how do you fix that? Cultural. That's a cultural problem and a leadership thing. There's no other way to put it, man. So that starts from the top down, and hopefully we see some changes.
All that stuff you've been putting on X is really helping, us average fans, how we look at the game a little differently. But also the reporting that you came back from for practice, saying how they're getting after each other and stuff like that. And then, they go out and do that. I'm like, I'm sure you were seeing what you were seeing. You always report accurately. It's just how are you guys banging heads?
They're
hurting each other in practice. You go out there and tiptoe around Florida State.
Yeah, that's why, practice looked good. I never thought that we were going to go down to there and get out-manned or out-physical like that. Again, because practice had been solid. My thing was, that's what I was most shocked about. That's why on my take, I just said, I feel like Florida State has a recipe to cause some issues for us. But it wasn't about anything I was saying with us. I had confidence in what I had seen in practice. But, Mike, we're going to roll on these full lines so we can get it. We got a bunch of people lined
up. Absolutely. We'll catch you guys at Wisconsin, the game.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, brother.
Stay well in New York, Mike. Keep New York right,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir.
Keep
I'm in the red part of New York up here, my man. Don't worry about it.
Oh, wow. There you go. All right, let's keep on rolling. We got Marty from Arkansas up next. Marty, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Marty?
Hey, Marty.
Everything's fine over here. But first of all, Christian, everybody hates Alabama. Everybody hates it. I'm getting fed up so bad right now that Arkansas fan, you look, you don't play us and we would beat you. I said, yeah, you're rushed. Florida State was a good program for long years on the bottom, but they rushed the field. I'll guarantee it. If Georgia beats us over there, they're going to rush the field. Everybody, and that's what the coaches, That's one thing Saban knew. Saban knew coming in, everybody was out to get Alabama. I don't think these coaches or these players know that Alabama's their Super Bowl. If they beat Alabama, woo, we beat the best in the South because we're the best team in the South. Right. We have been since 1925, and we always will be unless these – and I'm like your dad. Go out there, get one of them chains and one of them whatever you call them and lock those cars up. They don't get them back until they do something right. No, I'm serious. Lock them up and don't let them go. And then stick them back in Bear Bryant's hall where Bear used to have all of them and stick them there and feed them weenies and barbecue beans. They don't get steak. They don't get nothing but barbecue beans and weenies until they know how to play. Just like when they play.
Right, like
the losers did in the spring game.
That's correct. They need to go back some beans and franks, B&Fs. You know what I mean? You play like, I don't even know, bro. But see, what would you give them after that performance? I might just get them what they call one of them sandwiches that you just put some mayonnaise and a tomato on it with no meat.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah. Now, growing up, you know, we ain't have no meat. We ain't have no money to get no meat, so you make a sandwich, just put some mayonnaise and a tomato. You had a little garden with maters, as they call it, and you just put them on between the bread. And that's what that kind of performance, you know, demands on one of them mater mayonnaise sandwiches with no meat. That's what they need. Mm.
Hey, let me ask you another question. What do you think the top ceiling is, 9-3, and what do you think the low ceiling is, 5-7?
Woo, man. I don't think they'll go 5-7. They got too much talent. They'll beat some teams based on that. I think 8-9 wins to me is their low ceiling. I really do. If they go, you're talking about 6-7, then we're really going to be having a conversation about it's time to, you know, just do what Jesus did. Just start turning over tables. I mean, you know, I think, you know, 8 or 9 wins would be a horrible year for them. If they go 9 again, people go, this is Alabama. Nobody's in South Carolina. We went 9, and I mean, you know, Beamer could almost be a governor around here, right? He beat Clemson, went 9 games. Everybody's excited. But this is not the case in Tuscaloosa, 6, 5.5 hours down the road, down I-20. No, that's 9 games, not going to get it. We can't, again, like the players. I put the same thing, Marty, with the coaches. Are you paying Kalen DeBoer to win 9 games, $10 million, $11 million? No. You're paying him that kind of money to win championships. And if you can't do it, then they got to scrap that and find somebody that they can pay to win championships. That's just the way of the world.
But what do you think the ceiling and the floor is? Like I know what you're saying. Like, you're saying based on expectations, sure. I agree with you. But
8 wins. They'll go 8-4.
You think so?
Worse. I mean, Georgia, South Carolina, LSU could be losses. That's 4. They're not going to lose to Monroe. They're not going to lose to Wisconsin. They're not going to lose. Well, they could. I mean, let me go 7-5 because Tennessee looked pretty good. They do get them at home. They got Missouri again, right? They got to go to Missouri. They should win that one. Oklahoma comes to Alabama. Oklahoma's actually playing some pretty good football, too, right now. They got a quarterback that's pretty daggum good, can run as well, dual threat guy. Auburn, you know, they did what they had to do. So I don't know, man. I'm going to say 7-5 because I think they will get better. They will play tougher to a degree. Now, I just don't know when they play the upper edge teams like Georgia or even South Carolina that their defense has the talent to stop Lenore Sellers or to beat a – what's the quarterback? The quarterback at Georgia, Gunner or something.
Stockton.
I mean, he was a dual threat with those receivers. They went and got nice receivers, Marty. So I don't know how they're going to man out against Georgia or on the road. Also against South Carolina on LSU. They get up at home. LSU's at home. So now they're not going to beat LSU. They're not going to beat them. So I'm going to say 6-6, 7-5 would be the bottom floor.
For me, and I know people are going to think I'm tripping after what I just saw. I still think, listen, because I've watched this team in practice and in scrimmages, man. Like, that Week 1 game, they've got way more than that. And I'm going to hold on to the confidence that they can clean that up. I would probably say, though, if I'm being completely honest, I really feel like 9-3 is my honest ceiling. Could they go 10-2? Here's the thing, guys. You already lost one game. So if you go 10-2, that means you only have one more loss to take. And I just don't know if I see us only losing one more game, if I'm being completely honest. I'm going to say the ceiling would probably be 9-3 for me. The floor, I don't see us losing any more than five. I don't see it being any worse than 7-5. I would, like, honestly, and I don't think that happened. I think realistically 9-3 again is very possible. Could be 10-2. But again, I mean, that means you got to turn it around and quick. Because again, you go on the road September
22nd. Now you wish star. They're not going 10-2.
No. I said if they wanted to, that means they only have one more loss in the tank and you got to go on the road at Georgia and just, you get a bye week before that game. But then, like you said, Tennessee looked pretty solid. At South Carolina, we know that's going to be tough. And then Lenore Sellers, we know what he brings.
Auburn's going to be tough.
Auburn on the road is going to be tough. Like you said, Oklahoma looks solid. LSU, we know they look solid. I think 9-3 is pretty realistic. But again, that's just my take from where I'm at right now. And I hope it's 10-2. I hope it's 11-1. I don't think I can just I would be lying if I said
I hope I hope I hit the lottery and I don't even buy tickets.
This dude is a joke. All right, Marty, we appreciate it. We're going to hit this next time out so we can keep on rolling, brother. Good deal.
I'll see Q on here says 6-6. I said 7-5. I said 6-6. Wow. 7-5, Bama, ball. Number 9.
Not much confidence right now with the fan base. Clearly, according to our chat.
He said he already spent over $1,000 to see Matthew.
Jesus Christ. All right. Let's hit this next time out.
You could have said that at 1334 church. We did a whole lot more with that $1,000. You could have blessed somebody.
Wow. We're going to hit this timeout so we can keep on rolling. Got some more calls to get to. That way we can dive back into this breakdown coming up. We'll touch a little bit on the offense on the other side, too. Plus, we'll see if there's some interviews. I don't know if they'll have any more media availability this week. Wouldn't shock me if they didn't, but we'll check on that as well. All coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
WTF. Language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Sorry if you heard me making sound effects. I'm watching with our YouTube stream again live on YouTube at the Miller's Edge. Some of these clips from the offense from Saturday. We talked so much about defense. I was bringing this up, but man, I mean, you talk about somebody that made themselves some money, that put their name on the NFL draft radar. I mean, former DB, Alabama DB, Earl Little Jr., man. I mean, just coming down with violent intentions, man. Didn't see that out of our secondary, unfortunately.
You had Earl Little, but you want to give other people who are nice guys, who are fish taco eating players, cars and NIL deals, and you let guys like that leave your pro. That's the kind of guy that I'm screaming about. Right there, Earl Little, who's put in the right position so that he can excel. But now you let him get out that, you get him out that locker room. And now he comes and bites you. And by the way, folks, he knocks your big time receiver. He sent them to the locker room. He sent them to the locker room saying double. I mean, that's all I'm telling you, brother. Like, you go get all these fish taco, dude. They're nice. I mean, Kellen, it drives me nuts when these coaches kept telling me how nice a guy somebody is. Kellen just said the other day, these are a bunch of nice. You're right. We know it. Can they play? They show it. They are too nice. You can be a guy that plays like Earl Little and be a nice guy when football game is over. I wanted to be nice when the game was over. But during the game, you thought I was straight from the macaroni, collard green, poke skin, fat back eating type of dude. Because I'm, listen, and you talking about somebody rubbing something on me? Oh, no, I'm throwing out the game, coach.
I ain't see that part.
I'm telling you, you do that right there, I'm throwing out the game. Because I know you say, well, of course, nah, bro, I didn't play though. My dad, he's a nice man. My dad didn't believe in it, but he always told me, he said, always, they do something to you first. He said, then you better respond. He always said that. Now, you don't go start nothing. You don't talk trash. You don't. But if they do something to you, he said, I give you the right to strike back. And that's what I did. But in a game, because it was legal, I struck first. Because I'm going to try to get you up out of there.
That's fair. This is the other thing, and we're going to go to the callers when we open up because we only got a couple minutes here. But I know a lot of people also were wondering about this play right here that we got up on the stream. So for our radio listeners, it's that deep shot that they took to score White. He was at the bottom of the screen that DJ Lee lined up on him. I know a lot of people I keep seeing talking about they're blaming Coach Womack. Why would you line a true freshman corner on Squirrel White? Well, here's the thing, guys. I don't know if you guys understand this, but like, when we dive into X's, O's and talking about matchups and stuff, it's not like a video game where you can like just manually go control your guy and do like, or sit there and go yell, hey, no, you go on this side. Like if you're putting a player on the football field, he is trusted to go out there and do his job no matter who else is. Like, you understand he could be lined up against Squirrel White. He could be lined up against Deuce Robinson. But we trust in his ability, which again, he's been practicing against Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, and Jeremy Bernard and holding his own and doing a damn good job. So you guys got to understand, it's not about, oh, why would you put it? They didn't say, hey, DJ, go line up on Squirrel White. That's not how it works. The way football works is if he's in a package, which I think they were in a dime look here. I can't remember just off the top. I'm pretty sure this is a dime look just by looking at it. He was in on that. And when they like him enough at that outside cornerback spot, I talked about this. He's not built to play inside. So you have to kind of keep him on the outside. Again, and they want him on the field because he's a good player. So that's why they bump Xavien Brown inside, because he's more capable of being more of an inside corner. Hence why he's on the outside. To be fair, though, again, you just got to think about this. A tall cornerback is not going to be expected to be a burner. So this is one of the, you know, downsides of having some of your, you know, tall, lengthier guys in the secondary. They're probably not going to be as quick as some of the guys. Just like the shorter guys might be faster, but they're not going to have the length, right? It's just, it's science. That being said, this is just tough. I mean, he ends up in a match.
I bet if you go back from the beginning, I bet it's all footwork.
It could be technique, but what I'm getting at is here, you can't avoid the match.
He's good right there.
No, that's what I'm saying. He gets beat. But the point of me saying this is I'm trying to explain to people that, because I know there's going to be criticism on the coach, but some of it, like, it's unwarranted. It's not accurate. You can't get mad. Like, if you're going to get mad for him lining up on here, you should just say, oh, he shouldn't be on the field, which I've seen this kid in practice. He can play. He just gets beat right here, which happens. And then his safety help because they're playing.
You should never get beat like that when you're playing off coverage.
He wasn't playing off. He was pressed.
He was off. If he was pressed, then you put your hands on him. Press coverage means you pressed. You jam him, and you don't back off and open up the gates. What he did is what's fundamental. Right. He backed up, turned his hips, and just let this dude run right by him. That's why I said yesterday, know who you are, know who that guy who he is that you're playing across from. If you know you're a 4'6 and he's a 4-4, and I'm in man coverage. I have to disrupt his timing. I got to get in his grill. I got to make what we call reroute. There's something called reroute him. Make him run the bubble outside. Make him shake and bake at the line of scrimmage. Put your hands on him. Force him to the sideline. Use the sidelines to help you. Now, it gives yourself some room and time. Allow the pass rush to be effective, which that probably wouldn't work if Bama don't have any pass rush. But my point is, bad technique, not knowing who he is, not knowing who that guy is, number four for Florida State, and the guy just run past him with, and the safety, look at the safety. Nowhere over the top. So he didn't know where his hat was. Maybe his hat was inside. Maybe he should have been playing outside. I don't know what the call was, but maybe he should have been playing outside in technique, forcing him inside based on the safety. Because the safety.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. So they're playing cover one, right? So if anything, his help's going to be on the inside. And to this guy, right, exactly. And this guy has a hard job to do, right? Because in cover one, right, you got one high safety. And what they ran was they ran Seattle, which is four verts, right? They literally ran this four verts down the field. He's in a compromised position. He can't be overly influenced over here and say, oh, I'm going to help DJ out because, look, you got other guys running verts down the field that also. And I think Keon ended up dropping as like a robber in the hole. So I'll be honest with you. Good play call by Florida State here. And if I'm being completely honest with you, they probably knew that we were more than likely playing man. We did disguise it as a too high show and then got to this. But obviously it wasn't good enough. I think they probably just said, hey, they like to play man on third down. We're going to call four verts like that, stress that safety, and we're going to trust our okay. –
If I'm a corner and I know I got zero coverage or one, whatever – and I know where I have to understand where my help is, right? And he's just out the gate, open up, played hard inside leverage, right out the gate. He gave him all that room on the sideline. He just gave it to him. See, right now, he's, oh, is that him right in the slot?
No, he's on the outside.
Okay. Now, look, the one on the slot was playing outside in technique. Right, so that tells me his help is on the inside. So even if you say, hey, you have no help, then I know that I got to really play press coverage. Now look, right there, go back.
Yeah, I know, he's opening the gate and forcing him out. All right. So I'm kind of kidding.
Now look at number two, outside in. He's playing inside, let's see him right here. See, where he's in the outside hip on the slot. He's totally turned open up. He's opened up so far that now he's got to redirect and try to run with this fast guy. He's beat already. He's beat like a drum. Bad technique. Look, turn and run. Now it's a foot race. He's past the 5 yards. You can't touch him. Now it's a foot race. And the squirrel outran whatever he is, a bear. He looked like a bear on this because he couldn't keep up. So you got a squirrel and you got a bear. I'm going to take the squirrel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to remember, he's a true freshman, so, I mean, he's still learning, but,
yeah. They ain't that hard. I'm sorry. I'm not giving him an excuse.
No, I'm not giving him an excuse. I'm just saying, I mean, true freshman, I mean, you got to expect there's going to be some things there, but he got beat. So I just wanted to bring that play up because I know a lot of people are like, oh, why'd you put him on there? It's not like they intentionally said, oh, go line up on Squirrel. No, they just ended up being in man coverage on that call. He was on the outside, and obviously bumped Xavier inside, and what happened. But we'll keep diving into some of this breakdown stuff when we come back. Top of the hour break right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Quite a debut for Coach Bill Belichick at North Carolina Monday night. At home, the Tar Heels were beaten 48-14 by TCU, which had nearly 260 yards rushing and over 280 yards passing. Defensive end Micah Parsons was limited in his first practice at Green Bay. He has a joint sprain in his back. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, with his bad back, is expected to start the opener this weekend. Naomi Osaka beat Coco Gauff in a fourth-round match at the U.S. Open. To Major League Baseball, baseball. The Phillies won 10-8 at Milwaukee. The Mets were 10-8 winners at Detroit. Juan Soto with a grand slam and a two-run triple. Cincinnati with three runs in the bottom of the ninth beat Toronto 5-4. Toronto had just scored three runs in the top of the ninth. The Cubs...
Irish Pub, often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, partially sunny. A few spots could see a shower through the evening hours. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of scattered showers by afternoon. The high at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, first hour, man, we took a little bit of time to do some, you know, talking ourselves. We talked a lot yesterday, but we really went to the phone lines. We're going to continue to do that, let you guys get off your chest. Plus, we're weaving in and out some of these clips to break some stuff down that we might not have really talked about yesterday. Again, I've been doing a whole bunch of posts on our Twitter page, or X, I should say, at the Miller's Edge. So if you like those breakdowns and me explaining and showing with clips and pictures exactly what's going on or what the deal is, make sure you check us out there as well, because I'm going to start doing that. I'm just going to dedicate a lot of time to really teaching the game and really trying to go out here and save the game from all this fake news, man. That's my new agenda. So
I'm saying
there's just a lot of stuff that people post that's just not, and then some of it's not completely wrong, but there's a lot of stuff that's missing. And so I feel like, I don't know, I can serve a purpose in that aspect, man. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Turner from South Kakalaki. Turner, welcome in.
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
Man, hey, what's up, Turner?
Man, Tori, you're making me hungry talking about all that good food now. You need to stop it. I'm trying to watch the girly figure here. So, so my son, you know, he's been seeing his girl over the summer. Well, he went to her house, her and her parents are all Florida State fans. So he got an earful over there. I told him, I said, well, you didn't have to torture yourself. You could have come to dad's house, but he's all about her right now. But, you know, with the game Saturday, you know, one, I will say it's one game, but I will say that one game, Alabama looked unmotivated. They didn't look prepared. They didn't look like they wanted it. And a few things that I've noticed, like on social media, is one, people are talking about Ty. Now, he threw for 254 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. I don't know what much more you want out of your quarterback. Now, in the second half, he struggled. It was the same thing as last year. Milroe struggled partially because no one blocked him. Ty Simpson struggled in the second half. No one blocked for him. We ran the ball first drive. I mean, ran it down their throats, took it in touchdown. We abandoned that.
It's funny, man. You said Ty struggled because nobody was blocking. I swore that's what we had been saying the last 2 years for Milroe, but nobody wanted to hear it. It was all his fault.
No, it's 100%. 100%. I think I said it. I said it last year. I called it a couple times.
You were on the same page with us. I'm just throwing that. I'm just being funny because everybody swore it was one guy. And I'm like, dude, bro, this has been going on.
No, and now don't get me wrong. Did Milroe make some bonehead plays? Yeah, every player's going to do that, right? I mean, it's going to happen. But you got to coach them to minimize that, right? You want to coach them to minimize the mistakes. Hey, don't try and force it. Throw it away. Live for another down, whatever, right? The defense, I thought I was really excited about because I thought they got better and better as the year went. There was an exception. I mean, Oklahoma, I think that was towards the end of the season. You know, Oklahoma blasted them. But I guess the thing that really bothers me is, and I guess maybe I'm just used to Saban, is that the board just looked lost. He was not chewing anybody. There was no – it was like almost a Mike – and God bless Mike Shula. It was like the deer in the headlights look. You know, he just – I don't know. Everybody's calling for him to be fired, but, you know, if you do that, then the portal opens up. So be careful what you wish for. I am hoping –
if you don't perform well either, that the portal's going to open up. I wouldn't base it off of that, to be honest with you. I mean, if they have a bad year this year, Turner, you best believe them dudes aren't going to stick around here, brother.
Oh, I agree. If they don't have a good year, yes, there's going to be some guys that they not only do they want to play, but they want to win, right? Right. And there'll be some schools that'll be offering some of these guys money, but I just don't.
You said there's gonna be some guys gonna offer them some.
I said if they don't win and if they don't have a good season, there's gonna be some other teams that are gonna offer them some money to come their way, right? And they're gonna enter the portal.
They're not nobody on this defense. I don't even know if I would buy them we call them meat and three. I buy them from. We got a place. We have here. Yeah, you know, Lizard Sticker, because you're from South Carolina. You know, Lizard Sticker is famous for. I might buy them a meat and three because they're hungry. But brother, I couldn't give them no more than a 769 meat and three meal where they playing. I don't see any school giving anybody on this defense. I mean, any money. Based on one game sample time, but who on that defense? Who on this defense that you saw Saturday? You say I will bring them in my program. Any of them?
No, nobody.
That's the problem.
Gray Hubbard. I had high hopes for him. There's one play. Now that may have been the camera angle, but it seemed to me like he was a nonchalant jogging out there. I mean, my son could have run faster than him. He plays outside linebacker. My son would have at least fly the light boys up. Now, I mean, he's only 5'10", 180 pounds, but he would have tried a hell of a lot. I sent you that text. You know, my son I don't get. Oh, by the way, Christian, congratulations! Your Vikings finally won a game.
Did we win a game?
Yeah, I want to say I'd have to look it up. I want to say maybe Lower Richland.
That ain't really the same.
That's kind of like Alabama beat Monroe.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. But, hey, but we'll tell you, a dub is a dub, man. A dub is a dub.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if, and I just don't see, like, Saban, I tell everybody, if Saban would have been on the sidelines Saturday and saw those guys playing like that, he would have died of a heart attack from yelling so much. He would have had a coronary artery explosion. He would have passed away on the field. He'd have been so pissed off.
Let me give you a stat that's real. Nick Saban lost 4 games to unranked teams at Alabama in, well, how many years was he? 17?
I got it pulled up right here.
Like 17. Kalen DeBoer has already lost 4. 235-4. Kalen DeBoer, look at this. Oh my God, I hate you showing me this right here. 14 games, 4 unranked losses. Let me shout this for the folks up in the upper deck at the church. Kalen DeBoer has played 14 games as the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. He already has 4 unranked losses, where Nick Saban, in his tenure, 235 games, only 4 losses. So,
yeah,
this train is on the wrong tracks and is headed for a head-on collision. Because if this don't change, I know that Brown is crazy. There's no way you can give free lunch money for this type of performance. I'm sorry. It's just, if you're going to pay me 10, 11, listen, when I got a new contract back in the day in 19, when free agency hit the National Football League, here's where I went from, guys. I was a 6th-round pick. I got a $35,000 signing bonus where they asked me, did I want 20s, 50s, 100s? They paid me so little, they were going to pay me cash. That's how big my signing bonus was. I made $90,000. So, okay. That's 25. But I ended up making 200 and change based on performance-based bonuses. I got the free agency, okay? And 93, when the New Orleans Saints wanted to sign me, I went from 90 to 175, I think. And then that third year was the last year that plan B, I went from like 300. That thought my fourth year, I went from that to making 7 point something on a 4-year deal, right? And the reason why, because my play, right? The way I played gave me that contract to become one of, at that time, of the highest paid linebackers in the National Football League, right? Uh-huh. I also got a bonus of 200-something thousand because they put in my contract, if I had more sacks than Lawrence Taylor, then I had another big, almost $250,000 bonus. They never thought that was going to happen, but it happened. My point is this, right? You get paid based on how you perform. And right now I'm talking in the terms of head coaching. You know, they weren't going to give me that kind of contract for getting a half a sack and 22 tackles in the season, right? They ain't going to give me that kind of money. So Kalen DeBoer is as nice and as great, and I love his heart. I love this heart. And this is not personal. But what he has done through 14 games, he need to be getting about $1.25 million a year.
Right.
Not $11 million. I'm just saying, what he has performed. Now, luckily, he had a chance to change that. But they're not going to keep paying him this type of money to lose to unranked teams like Vanderbilt and Florida State and whoever else he's lost to, Michigan and Oklahoma, and these types of losses, and not just losing because of the fluke and they turned the ball over 50 times. They're losing, and they're getting their hiding kicked. Let me say it again. Mm-hmm. It's not that, you know, fluke game where Appalachian State goes in there and get a turnover and blah, 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 and they throw a Hail Mary and win the game. They're losing because they're getting their butts handed to them against non-ranked competition. And to me, this is a problem.
Mm. Oh, I agree 100%. Now, one more question, Corey, since you just went over your NFL career. When are you taking me to Hall's Chop House?
Listen, man, I'm so famous. Hey, listen, here's the thing, bro. You hit me up, and then you'll go to all Chop House, because I know the owners. And then, and we're going to go in there. We're not going to eat no big old steak, but we're going to go there for lunch. They got one of the best cheeseburgers in the world.
They got some good collard greens in there, too.
And they got some collard greens. Only problem is they got a little sugar in them. See, where I grew up, mama didn't put no sugar in no collard greens.
I like them sweet a little bit and put some of that North Carolina style barbecue sauce on there. That vinegar pepper sauce with that sweet, it's pretty damn good. But anyway.
We appreciate you,
bro. They making me want to speak in tongues. Like my buddy said, he went to a church one time, and I got to go. I'll leave y'all with this. He went to a church and they all spoke in tongues, and he never was able to speak in tongues, which is in the Bible. That the Holy Spirit gives those gifts to certain people. And he said, man, it was so much fire in there, and he just started speaking, and all he knew was he was getting ready to buy a Honda. So he just started saying, I want to buy a Honda. That was his level of speaking.
That ain't no damn tongue. That's more like the auction man. That ain't no preacher speaking tongue. That's a damn auction man on A&E
on Storage Wars.
You sound like the dude from Storage Wars. Yeah, he'd have better luck being the auction man on Storage Wars on A&E.
I gotta go. I gotta speak. I do gotta go eat.
All right, go eat, man. Appreciate you.
Y'all take it easy on Bammer.
You, man. That's you, brother. That's you. Don't worry. We're about to get back in. Got a couple phone calls, but I'm going to get back in to break some stuff down.
We've been there and do it for a night. The joy cometh in the morning. Let's just pray for some joy. Let's pray tomorrow will be joy. All right, guys.
Barry, ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, let's go back to the phone lines real quick so we can knock these out and keep on rolling. 205-342-9904. We got Ram up next. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry I missed you, Dad, but he was spot on yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And you may have been through this. And well, one thing I want to make a comment about, your enthusiasm for a game, and the way I have always looked at it, if you want to win, you don't need to have get chewed out the whole team. I understand chewing out a player for making a mistake, but there ought to be some incentive. There ought to be something inside of them. And when y'all, it's like you said, if somebody had mouthed off prior to the game that on the team that y'all were going to play, he was going to he was going to pay a little price for it.
Yeah.
We didn't. And Christian, I know y'all have probably talked about this ad nauseum, but I even noticed that they weren't staying in their lanes and gaps sometimes.
Right.
It looked like they were cheating. Am I right about that?
So it depends on, I mean, going through the whole game, yeah, there were some times it seems like guys were kind of out of position. That was something I felt like I saw a good deal last season, right? You know, guys just not really being, confident about where their run fits are, or being hesitant with them, late to them, sometimes almost hopping out of position. I mean, I talked about that one clip that I highlighted yesterday. Now, to be fair, I mean, you had a tight end go across the formation. Typically, guys are taught, to read. The guys in the backfield or pulling guards is when you're playing linebacker. So more than likely, he initially probably was reading that. But my thing is, who's replacing that B gap? You know what I mean? Like, there's just the run fits just seem a little janky at times. So I do agree with you. Yes, there were moments that I just felt like our fits weren't great. Or even the clip I highlighted on Twitter, when there was no edge. You know, LT, he's a C gap player, so I understand it. Technically, he is a C gap player. But when you see all that momentum going there, right, as a football player, you have to know, I might be a C-gap player, but I can't just backdoor and just run up into the C-gap. I'm putting myself out of position, right? Naturally, you might think, oh, well, I did my job. I hit the C-gap. But the ball is getting kicked outside. The way you play that, even if you are a C-gap player, you press that guy. You strike him. You physically attack him, and you press him. That way, you still can fall off back in the C-gap if the ball does cut back. You don't want to be too vulnerable there. But that way, you allow the ball to get, you know what I mean? It's almost like flaring the runner and then having to stretch him a little bit more, giving your guys more time to come and, and hunt the football, right? That's why everybody has to be running to the football. You can't be jogging because other guys have to force things to the teeth of the defense. And I'm not just seeing a bunch of guys in sync and doing what they need to do collectively. And that's probably the biggest problem, honestly, from a schematic standpoint.
Christian, that is correctable, isn't it? Would you say our linebackers have pretty good speed and athletic ability? I just kind of think they do.
I think Justin Jefferson does. I'll be honest with you. Deontay Lawson doesn't look 100% healthy to me. I don't think he looks very fast right now. And Nakai Hill Green, I'll be honest with you. I think he's more of a physical downhill type of guy. I mean, I think he can run, but I'll be honest with you. The only one that I would really say is like a fast player right now would be Justin Jefferson. So one of the three.
Okay. Well, on the scale of 1 to 10, what would you grade the defense on Saturday?
In the first game?
Right. Yeah.
A D. I'll give him a D. I mean, there's maybe a couple things that made it a little, but I mean, like if you're talking about everything, the whole picture, I mean, I don't think I could go any higher than a D. And that might be being a little generous, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Well, Christian, and you've been there and done that. A lot of the things I think I heard you say earlier, or maybe Saturday night, some of them can be corrected. And coach, in this next game, I don't see much really challenge. I hope, but maybe it'll. Corrections will show up.
We'll see. Like we've been saying, Ram, though, there's only so much. I mean, like, you're not going to be able to tell much from this next game. You're playing Louisiana Monroe. I mean, the only thing I'm really most worried about or really want to see this next game is are they playing with more effort? Are they playing with more physicality? Is there more life on the sideline? Do they go out there and play like they want it, right? That's what I'm looking at. I mean, the score could be 63-0, and I'm still probably not going to be moved where – you know what I mean? Until we really play somebody that's a worthy opponent, and I see how we show up then. You know what I mean? Like, all you can get from this next game is, all right, man, maybe will they at least play with more effort and physicality, which even from that standpoint, it's easy to play physical when you're playing an inferior opponent. So I still don't even know how much I can really pull from it. So Wisconsin will be a little bit better, and I think Georgia definitely is, you know, when you'll really have an idea, like, who is this team when we face Georgia? And then you'll have a better idea kind of where we're at. But Ram, we're gonna keep moving because we got a lot of calls to get to. But I appreciate you calling, man. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Christian. Don't let those dogs out.
Well, no, I'm hitting the calls, brother. We got to keep on rolling. We appreciate you, man. Good deal. All right, let's keep rolling. We got a new caller up next. We've got Marcus from St. Pete, Florida. Marcus, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian? How you doing, man?
Man, I can't complain, brother. What's going on?
Not much. First, I'd like to say it's really cool to talk to you because I remember watching you play at Alabama. I've been a Bama fan since I was about 10 years old, and that's when Alabama won their championship in 1992. So I've been watching a lot of Alabama football for a long time. So thanks for taking the call.
Oh, of course, man. Appreciate you calling in, man.
Absolutely. So the first thing I have to say, and this is my opinion, but I like talking X's and O's, but this is my opinion here. I don't think Ryan Williams should be in the slot. I don't think he's big enough. I don't think he's physical enough. I feel like I understand the offensive philosophy behind it, that it's going to create a mismatch, but I don't think Ryan Williams should be in there. I think he should put Isaiah Horton into the slot. You'll still generate a mismatch because the hope is that he's going to get pasted to a linebacker, right? So you still put a bigger guy on those linebackers. Isaiah Horton is still faster. I think he's kind of a possession receiver. I would put him into the slot, and I would use that to my advantage, especially when we would get in the red zone, which is a completely different thing. But I don't know, man. I think Ryan Williams being in the slot is not good. I think you should put Ryan Williams back on the outside, let him use his afterburners, let him use his speed. What do you think?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, traditionally, slot receivers are actually smaller and quicker guys, if we're being completely honest with you. So, I mean, I think from a skill set standpoint, I think he can do it. I just think maybe it's a matter of he has to still kind of get more comfortable doing it. He's probably played outside, you know, throughout high school. He definitely played it, you know, last season, you know, the X. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think really nowadays guys can line up in a number of spots. It's just about really just them getting the reps there, feeling comfortable doing it. So I'll say from like a skill set standpoint, Marcus, I don't think it's really a problem. He just didn't really look really, really comfortable there. I mean, and if anything, you talked about those matchups in the slot, you know, right? There could be times he's mismatched on a linebacker or something like that. To me, I'm like, that's what you want out of an offensive coordinator. But I think I need to see a couple more games of him working in that spot. And I think they'll move guys around. Maybe they'll say, hey, he didn't look the most comfortable there Saturday. Let's get him back on the outside. Obviously, he's in concussion protocol, so it might be a week or so till we see that. But I think they'll figure it out. But to me, I mean, he's versatile. He probably could move all around and be just fine. I think it's just a matter of reps and comfort.
I don't know. I agree with what you're saying. I would switch it up a little bit. And I also agree that he didn't look comfortable. It didn't feel like he felt, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was natural to him. It felt forced. I know that's going to sound weird to some people, but for some people who are just like football heads, I guess you'll understand what I'm saying, but it just didn't feel like it suited him. He didn't feel comfortable in the role. I don't feel like he trusted being in the slot. I could be 100% wrong because I'm watching it on TV just like everybody else is, but it just looked awkward to me. The next thing I'm going to say is, and this is probably where I'm going to get a lot of shade thrown at me, but it is what it is. I think it's unfair to start comparing Coach DeBoer to Coach Saban. I think it's unfair. We label Coach Saban the GOAT, which means greatest of all time, or arguably the greatest of all time. So we are comparing this guy to the greatest of all time and then getting mad when he doesn't meet those expectations. Well, no duh. The greatest of all time retired. He's gone now. So now we're expecting that the second guy that we hire is going to be another great of all time. It's not going to happen that way. What's going to happen now with that myself and a lot of Alabama fans are going to have to understand is we were spoiled with Coach Saban being there. We were spoiled because we Coach Saban did something that not a lot of coaches, especially in the SEC, was able to do, which is maintain a standard of excellence that literally was the measuring stick in college football, in the world of college football. And now that Coach Saban is gone, we're going to Alabama, the University of Alabama, is going to have the same weaknesses as other schools have, which is, hey, man, if this doesn't work out with this coach after a few years, now we got to go find another coaching. We got to go on a coaching search and find somebody else to fill the role. I think people should take a breath and let this at least see what he can do. He just got his offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, which I thought Coach Grubb's play calling was good, but I thought the execution was terrible. A lot of people are going to drag Coach Womack, but Coach Womack had a top 11 defense last year. For those of you who don't follow the statistics, Alabama had one of the best defenses it had in quite some time last season under Coach Womack. I think this boils down to players not trusting the process. And most notably, I'm going to point at Dejon Lee. That him playing press coverage on Squirrel White, okay, that's fine with it. I get that. But if you're out there and you're playing press coverage, that means you have to press that offensive player. You got to put hands on him and reroute him off the ball. You can't just let somebody like Squirrel White start flying down the field and catch a 64-yard strike, because we have a ton of film when he played at Tennessee when he used to do that. You have to put hands on somebody, and that's why I'm not a big fan of letting freshmen get out on the field and play. Unless you can physically dominate, unless you stand above everybody else who's above you, I'm not a fan of putting freshmen out on the field and letting them get first crack at it, because you're going to make those freshman mistakes, and those freshman mistakes are going to be costly mistakes. And that cost Alabama a touchdown because it set one up for FSU. That's my opinion.
And I think you said a lot of good stuff and a lot of interesting things. I'll respond real quick, man. So I'll say this in terms of play calling. First drive, for sure, I definitely loved it. Downhill physical runs, setting up play action, some nice easy throws for Ty to get into a rhythm. I think that was literally what I was hoping and expecting to see from Ryan Grubb. I think outside of that, it just seems like this staff, Ryan Grubb included, I think when they start feeling, you know, they're playing from behind, or not feeling, when they are playing from behind, they naturally start, you know, getting eager and saying, oh, we got to throw the ball. And that's natural for a coordinator. But I just feel like we did probably abandon the running game a little too early. I know they said they still tried to get to it, was what it was. But that's when, like you mentioned, you know, player execution has to be better. I agree. I 100% agree. And that's why I mentioned earlier with my dad, I think somebody asked a question about the scheme. Like, you know, at the end of the day, even if, you know, the scheme is not perfect at times, as players, especially when you have good football players, they should be able to say, all right, let's go out here, execute this call. And you should at least be able to minimize, you know, what the offense is getting. You get what I'm saying? Player execution is key. And I feel like there's been a lot of, lack of that in the last couple of years. But again, that also could, you know, we have good players. Why is there a disconnect between coaches and players? Why are we not seeing that relationship really flourish the way it should? And then you mentioned Coach Womack. I would be careful just going off of statistics, because, I mean, yes, statistically, we did have a solid defense last year. We forced a lot of turnover. I think it was kind of, you know, up and down, kind of like the whole season. But I would say if you watch the tape, man, I mean, a lot of the issues that we saw week one were the same things. We saw inconsistency with the running game, or stopping the run, I should say, inconsistencies when it came to dual threat quarterbacks, right? Being a little bit, I guess, like one-dimensional sometimes and not really adjusting too much. And to me, like, you can have good numbers statistically, but there still is always going to be, if you turn on the tape, things that show up that the numbers aren't going to tell you. And to me, when I watch the tape, there's just some things that I just feel like need to be cleaned up, and we haven't seen that at least through week one of this season. Hopefully they start doing that. But I'm with you. I think it's too early to say, you know, call for jobs. You know what I mean? I think there's a long season ahead. We'll see kind of how things kind of go from here. And I think there are a number of things in Coach Womack's system that are good, that work well, but there are some other things that I'm not too sure about that I think could be improved upon, which I'm sure they're actively working to do that. But we'll see. And then the last thing you talked about, the comparison to Coach Saban, I definitely think it's unfair to compare him to Coach Saban, but that's naturally going to happen. He's following the GOAT, right? People have expectations. Yeah. That's what they've seen out of Alabama the last two decades. But I agree with you. Like, and I tell people all the time, like, the reality is you're not going to see, like, I played in four straight national championships. I don't know if you see a team have that the luxury of doing that ever again or in a long time. It's just a different age that we're in. And I think the biggest thing is just knowing that, I mean, Coach DeBoer is, you know, he's a totally different person, right? But I think the frustration comes in, Marcus, that people look at it and it's like, you know, when Coach Saban got here, he didn't have the guys. He didn't really have the Jimmys and Joes. I mean, he went out and recruited and got the guy Julio and some of those early recruits that really helped lay the foundation. But when Coach DeBoer got here, and I know a lot of guys left, but he still was left with a lot as well. And I think the frustration comes when they look at it and they're like, hey, man, like, you were left with some really good players. You lost some, but you still had some good ones. You also went and recruited a really good recruiting class. I know they're all really young, but still, it's not that you don't have the Jimmys and Joes. It's something else. And if you look at the more glaring issue, it's really, I mean, this lack of physicality, lack of effort, and it looks like there's almost like a cultural issue, right? Like, there's a disconnect. To me, it just feels like there's a disconnect. The players aren't going out there feeling like they have a lot. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, we knew we couldn't. If we loafed on tape, like, all right, you're good, man. You got somebody else coming in. You are not going to be with the ones next week. Like, but it's like right now, I feel like these guys don't have that same level of respect. I'm just being completely honest with you. And I don't know what they need to do to fix that. I don't know if you can all of a sudden just snap your fingers and get that. But that needs to be cleaned up, man.
I think we lost some of our best Jimmys and Joes, if I'm being honest with you, Christian. Justin Okoronkwo looked incredible for South Carolina. He looked incredible for South Carolina.
Yeah, but he was a third-team guy.
Looked incredible for FSU. He looked incredible at FSU.
But all those guys were second and third teamers. And for being honest, there's only a slim number of guys that really transferred out that are really flourished. I mean, like those two you mentioned, Caleb Downs, we knew that. But some of these other guys, I mean, you look at that, Jaheim Otis at Colorado. I mean, the tackle from last year, he transferred, and I think he's like third team tackle. I mean, like a lot of guys that left, you know, were what they were here. They just ended up being backups. But I'm with you. You did lose players. Don't get me wrong, but still, to look at the roster that we have, I mean, last time I checked, I mean, you, Marcus, you brought up the analytics and stuff. I mean, PFF had us as a number one defensive line, number two secondary, all these numbers, number five or six linebacker group. Obviously, people think we have talent. Why aren't we able to get those guys to play at the level that they need to play at? That, to me, is the biggest problem.
That is a huge problem. I was watching film, and guys were getting caught in the wash. Like, guys who were supposed to be on the outside getting contained, they were taking terrible angles. They got caught up in the trash. They weren't able to make plays. I don't understand. When I saw that breakdown of Bray Hubbard just jogging on the field, I wanted to like, scream to high heavens, because I've never in my whole 40-plus years of living and watching almost 20 years of Coach Saban coaching at the University of Alabama, ever saw players jog like that and get such a piss-poor effort on the field. And I watched that, and I was like, what the hell is happening right now? Like, why does it feel like there's just a lack of effort? The way FSU played us is the way I thought we were going to play them. I thought we were coming out. I thought Bama was coming out with a more physically dominant team. So much trash had been talked. So much hype has been surrounding this game. And then Alabama goes out there and gets steamrolled. So it makes me go to my last train of thought, and I'm going to get off this call, which is, it makes me wonder if FSU is for real this year, or was this FSU's Super Bowl and they poured everything they had into one game and then they were going to go on and stink it up and have a 7-5 or 8-4 season. I don't know, because that's to be determined, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But Alabama, one, has to bounce back. They have to bounce back. I don't care about ULM. I don't give a dang about Wisconsin. I care about how do you play in SEC play. We need to see how you play in the SEC, because there is a different level of physicality down here. And I have seen it in person. I didn't play it, but I saw it in person every time I went to the stadium and watched in Bryant Denny. And I see it on the television. And then when you turn on any of these games from different conferences, it doesn't seem like the level of physicality is the same. I would say the Big Ten is definitely creeping up and raising its standard. Ohio State's defense was good with Matt Patricia as the play caller. But aside from the big schools in the Big Ten, you see a different level of physicality, and the battle is won in the trenches. Losing Tim Keenan and losing Jaden Roberts, not having those guys on your offensive and defensive line, that means something, because those are dogs that were supposed to be out there playing, and now they're not. And now we got our butts whipped in the trenches, and FSU literally did whatever they wanted to do. We knew Gus Malzahn was almost going to run trick plays, and it seemed like guys still didn't have discipline with their eyes. We knew that they'd like to do a lot of motion, and it still looked like the motion caught these guys up. So I don't know if maybe it was first game jitters, and they just because they repped it in practice meant that it didn't translate well to the field for game day. But something has to give, man. Something has definitely got to give. I know you say you don't like coaching, but your calling might be around the corner, Christian. I'm just saying, man. It might be around the corner, man.
If you want to be up there to be a voluntary hands-on, I'm all for that, but I can't sign up for 6:30 to 9 p.m., bro. Maybe one day we'll see, man. Maybe one day we'll see. Hey, Marcus, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you calling in. Feel free to do it anytime, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, Chris. Have a great day, man. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Roll Tide.
SNRIs and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we only got like a minute left. Smitty, I mean, if you want to hop on for that minute, Chase, did Smitty drop? He probably dropped because I just told him we're only going to have like a minute. We don't even have a minute. We got like 30 seconds. So, Smitty, dial us up tomorrow.
No problem.
Yeah, I was about to say, because we got like 30 seconds. I promise I'll get you right on. That's on me. Yes, sir.
I'll say this real quick. Someone posted on X, the toughest people on the team are the Washington guys. So it ain't the West Coast. That's all I got to say. A lot of tough guys recruited by the state. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, brother. Hey, you know what's crazy? I mean, to be fair, the Washington guys were two of the bright spots from Saturday, man. So maybe it's not the fish tacos. I don't know. That being said, man, we got to get out of here. We're going to do it all again tomorrow, so make sure you guys are here again. 11 to 1 right here, Central Time, YouTube, Tide 100.9, our Facebook page, Tide 100.9 as well. We'll do more breakdowns. Plus, we'll take a little bit more of a look at ULM, right? I know some people are a little curious about that. I'll bring a little bit of a breakdown. I know you guys probably don't care nearly as much, but, hey, it's still a chance to – it's a teaching opportunity, so we'll do that. And don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge, get you 20% off. Plus, if you're looking for a place to watch the game this weekend, hang out, get a nice cigar, best humidor in the Southeast, over 160 bourbons. Check them out, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. You can't beat the atmosphere, what they've got. Plus, shout out to one of our new sponsors. Again, people love the show, man. They want to join the team. So shout out to our friends, our new sponsors, over here with Asphalt Restoration. Again, got cracks, potholes, dragging down your property's appeal. Asphalt Restoration, where they transform driveways, parking lots with expert repairs, new paving or resurfacing, fast, durable, and family-owned, quality that you can trust. Don't let those small issues turn into big expenses. Call them today, 205-393-9149. Again, that's Asphalt Restorations. For your free estimate today, 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restorations, where smooth roads starts. Make sure you guys check them out for all your asphalt and pavement needs. All right, good deal. It's been a good one. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.